This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Come on then. Let's do this. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Good evening and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, available on YouTube Live and wherever you grab your podcasts after the event. We are brought to you in association with the best pub in Suffolk and indeed Norfolk, the Greyhound in Ipswich, which was the topic of an article in the East Anglia Daily Times today. I saw it was being reported such a boom in business, presumably in relation to the association they have with ourselves. We must renegotiate that particular deal. My name is Craig Fimbo, and joining me this evening is a very special guest, boys and girls, often described as a championship expert.
Never by me, though.
Please use and abuse him as you wish this evening with questions later on in the show. Benjamin Bloom, how many pre-derby pods have you ticked off so far this week, and number will this be?
I'm over it. In answer to that question, I've done about 7,000, and we even turned one down. Oh no, we have got someone doing that later tonight, but no.
Sport, yeah.
And we've even taken a day out of Derby pre-week, haven't we, with the bank holiday? But it is ramping up, isn't it? And yeah, sometimes they say talking about something is good therapy, but nah, I'm still nervous.
Yeah, it's one of those things and I'm sure they're feeling exactly the same. You just can't really enjoy it. It's just one of those things you have to put up with, and then, you know, hood up, head down, watch game, hood up, head down, get home, and see what happens after that. There's a lot of people in the chat. Hello to you all. I'll put up some comments as and when. If you want to just put your general thoughts and feelings of how you're feeling going into this weekend, please do. We'll ask for some scores and predictions on lineups later on. What we do have, actually, just before we get into the nuts and bolts here, the Boffins, I believe they're called, at Opta, and their supercomputer ran 10,000 simulations yesterday into the final six games of this season, and this is what they came up with. Apologies for those who are listening, but it shows that, as I say, according to the TfL eggheads at Opta, yeah, we will finish third by 0.3 points from Leeds, who will finish on 97.4 points. I'd imagine they will run their supercomputer analysis yet again after the weekend, and we may see some movement in that, let's hope. Ben, you're probably a person to speak to. Championship Manager of the Year nominees came out, didn't they, this week, of which, perhaps unsurprisingly, one was Kieran McKenna, but perhaps maybe a bit more surprisingly were the other two. Daniel Farker and Liam Rose Senior from Hull City. What are your thoughts on the other two, really?
Well, I'm very surprised that Rossini was in there. Less surprised that Farker was in there. Rossini obviously is outside the playoffs and Carlos Corberan is inside of the playoffs. And I know Marty Cifuentes has only done half a season, but if QPR finish anywhere near 16th, then he'd be in the conversation for my money as well. I think everyone knows that McKenna's probably going to win it. Farker's done a good, competent job, but there's a bit of a sense of the Roy Keane's about it, Craig, of a, it's his job. You know, the Leeds job is basically you get automatic promotion, big tick. You don't get automatic promotion, big fail. And I said on another platform last night, if Ipswich were 12th, Kieran McKenna would be, okay, you've come up, you've transitioned into the Championship, good job. If Leeds were 12th, Daniel Farker would be being sacked. So I think given the expectations, that's where we are. Don't know why Rossini's in there, Craig. I know he speaks very well and he looks great on the TV and all of that stuff. But I think Mr. Corberan can think himself hard done to when you look at the probable spend of both clubs and where they are currently in the table. But the whole thing's folly anyway, because if Carlos Corberan wins the playoffs and Kieran McKenna finishes third and doesn't, then who's your manager of the year?
Yeah, good point. Or similarly, they give it to Farker and he finishes third and doesn't get Leeds promoted. They might look a little
right,
bit silly,
yeah.
At that point. Just throwing out some comments. Neil, thank you very much for the weather report. Yeah, just keep that tradition going while the two oafs who normally sit in these chairs are sunning it up. Viva Las Vegas. We don't know whether they're at the Celine Dion matinee or the who else is over there? Adele, Shania Twain, Penn and Teller, or the one of Siegfried and Roy who hasn't been eaten by his own tiger.
It would sound pretty decent to me, Craig, to be fair.
Yeah, so Seb and Rich are in Las Vegas, believe it or not. I went to Vegas 20 years ago. I saw Tom Jones.
Wow.
Yeah. Still recovering from
him. I saw him at Latitude and he played he didn't play any of his hits because he just put an album out of like new, I don't know what it was, and he made it very clear there would be no Delilah and it's not unusual at the start. Anyway, sorry, off topic.
No, we could keep talking about Tom Jones' back catalogue for the next 54 minutes if you wish. Right, before I forget, there are a couple of giveaways via our Twitter account. Couple of prints, T-I-N-T-S, I-N-C-E. One from Glory Days Artwork, which is like a Huddle stroke Portman Road print, and one from Metzala, which was hot off the press following Monday's match. A Jeremy Sarmiento print, pretty much within seconds of the goal going in, there was a print created. But the usual drill. Like both accounts, retweet, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's well worth doing. Right. Should we move on to Norwich?
Can I just quickly give a shout out to Joe Fares, who has just checked in the chat. He's on family duty over in the caravan in Norfolk. So big hello to Joe, and we miss you. We miss you greatly this week, especially me and Craig. Have done 10,000 shows.
Well, and again, if people want to read into what they will, that Seb and Rich are in Las Vegas. Mikey is in Sri Lanka.
Oh, wow.
Joe's in Norfolk. Ben and me are sitting here on a Thursday night speaking to you guys. So just, you know, disparity in wages springs to mind. Yes, Norwich. State of play at the moment, as you may or may not know, I'll get the table up. They are currently sitting in sixth. 64 points. They are 4 points behind West Brom, who are sitting in fifth. They are 4 points ahead of Coventry, who are sitting in seventh, albeit Coventry do have a game in hand. But their home and away form, Ben, they're pretty much two, you might as well treat them as two different animals, mightn't you?
Yeah, and I think it's seven wins on the trot at home, Craig. So, yeah, very, very good at home. Not so good away from home. And I suppose just to drill into the bigger picture, Craig, well, we were in League One last season, Norwich were failing to take advantage of their year one parachute payment. There was a point at the start of the season where they looked like they were just going to outmuscle everyone. I think they had a 6 or 7 game win streak there under Dean Smith and Craig Shakespeare, but that just didn't work at all with that particular management. And, you know, things tailed off badly. And we had this situation last season, which we'd all be praying for this season, Craig, where both Watford and Norwich fudged the year one parachute advantage. Ergo, you get Luton and Coventry in the playoffs, which is brilliant for the league. And then you get Luton in the Premier League. Obviously, David Wagner has come in, you know, really good job at Huddersfield, but a bit of a vacuum in the years in between, I would say. But you have to acknowledge proven championship manager with a brilliant promotion playoff winner, Huddersfield. But Craig, it looked like he was absolutely dead and gone in that Sky Sports game in November against Blackburn. Like, it was like the entire stadium had, had turned. And I know we were very mixed with some of the treatment that Mick McCarthy got. It was always kind of half and half, with everyone really knowing it was Marcus Evans they were really cross with. But this felt rather similar to that. And whether it's to their eternal credit, Craig, for sticking by him, or whether they just didn't have any better ideas.
Or enough money to sack him.
Yeah, he's done a really good job of turning it around. But as we've figured out, and we'll come on to Josh Sargent, I think he spent the first 14, 15 games without his best player by the look at what Mr. Sargent's done since he's come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we're talking about Wagner, people know him. You know, as you say, he's been in and around the championship. He knows it. I haven't checked my calendar to see if it's Wagner in or Wagner out season yet. We may well know more at 2:30 on Saturday.
Right, they're going to decide at round 46. I have that on good authority. So yeah. You're not going to find anything.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Actually, he went over to the Bundesliga, didn't he, with Schalke for a little bit. I think he then went to Switzerland for a year or so. And he's had, as you sort of say, he's got a pretty middling record with Norwich. Pretty much won as many as he's lost, almost 67 matches. Won 29, lost 25. So, yeah, it's a pretty middling record, really. And then, as you said as well, about the home record compared to the away, played 20 at home and won 14.
Wow.
Lost 4. Yeah. Yeah. Very compared good. compared to played 20, lost 10 away games. And again, as you say, won their last 7 at home. Albeit arguably not the trickiest batch of opponents in there. Certainly the last 3 or 4, Plymouth, Rotherham, Sunderland, you possibly couldn't have handpicked 3 teams that you'd like to play at home.
I hate to stand up for them though, Craig, but a 7-game win streak's a 7-game win streak, isn't it?
Yeah. At home. And they're scoring goals as well, aren't they? They scored 5 against Rotherham, 4 against Cardiff, 4
last
against
3
Watford.
From set plays, Craig, as well.
Yeah, which is probably a reassuring that Cameron Burgess is back, albeit his fellow 6'5" colleague may not be. I don't think their last match against Leicester gives us any indication of how things are going to pan out Saturday, do you? It was a funny old game, Leicester, wasn't it? I pretty much scored from that very familiar looking corner routine.
It's a good one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Looks a little bit something like you saw at Anfield a week or two ago. But apart from that, was it them that didn't do a lot else, or was it Leicester that clicked into gear a little bit?
Well, I think the one thing you can take away from it, Craig, is that they're not afraid to just sit in if they need to. And I think, annoyingly, when it got to 2-2 and they battened down the hatches at Portman Road, you know, we saw that then. There's obviously going to be a lot more pressure on them to not do that in a home game in an East Anglian derby. But I wouldn't put it past Mr. Wagner at whatever point to make the call of go narrow, go deep, and do not concede a goal. So I think we learned that, even though that was an away game, not a home game. And as you've pointed out, can we judge what they did against Plymouth and Rotherham in respect of what they're going to do against Ipswich Town? You probably get a more accurate comparison looking at a game against Leicester City than you would, even though it's an away game. And I totally take your point about, you know, there's sort of different approaches. So I guess we can read a little bit, and not that we ever want to see players get hurt, but another injury at centre-back, Jacob Sorensen, got hurt. So we think it's going to be Shane Duffy and Ben Gibson at the back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. Funny enough, when I was looking at their more recent home games, I was looking for exactly that. Is there like an equivalent team to us that you could sort of see how they played, see what the results were, see what the stats were, but there wasn't really one to compare it to. So as you say, it may well be that Leicester is our yardstick, if you like. So yeah, let's go on to their team. So in terms of their formation, they hadn't changed their starting lineup for the previous four matches before this one, but as you say, they will be making at least one change going into the weekend, given that Sorensen's hamstring went against Leicester, and as you say, they brought Duffy on. I suppose there's no fear of them. McLean sometimes drops into the back four, doesn't he? But you'd think it's more likely going to be a like-for-like, Duffy in for Sorensen.
Well, you don't know, because we did see Nunez and Sara was the midfield pair, wasn't it, against us at Portman Road. But they had Mr. Johnny Rowe at their disposal then, and they didn't, or rather, they won't have him at the weekend. And we think Sara, who's very good, actually going to play a bit further forward. So, yeah, I suspect, spoiler alert, what we're about to discuss over the next probably 90 seconds, it is just going to be that one change that you're kind of talking about.
Yeah. Well, as Trevor says here, he thought that they played 4-4-2 against Leicester. From what I saw before I left to watch our match, is that Sargent was sort of up front nominally, but then not. You know, he was switching, to be honest. So sometimes they had two up front, sometimes they had one. It'll be a very similar sort of setup to ourselves, I think, won't it? If you've got McLean and Nunez in the Morsy Luongo roles, Sainz and Sara wide, and then Sargent and Barnes up front, and so potentially swapping places every now and again.
Yeah, and what you did see a lot of at Portman Road was Nunez dropping right back, even behind his two centre-backs, and that kind of made it a three when the full-backs did get forward. I know Joe challenged me on this on the show. I thought Barnes was really important to them in terms of setting the team shape from the number 10 position in terms of, right, I need you within that distance of me, you within that distance of me. But, Craig, this all presumes that they're going to be as defensive at Carrow Road as they're likely to be as they were at Portman Road. Surely that won't be the case if they're far better at home and they're on a 7-game win streak there.
Yeah, exactly. You're catching them at a different time, aren't you? And as you say, at a different location. Question here quickly from Louis. Would it be fair to say they have the most talented squad outside of the three relegated sides? 7 players with Premier League experience, Sara Nunez, £15 million in transfer fees alone.
Yeah, I don't think it would be unfair to say that. I think the way Coventry could recruit after Hamer and Jokeres went, you can make an argument there, but it feels like there's certainly more proven quality in the, you know, we mentioned the Hull, particularly the Hull forward options with Philogene and Carvalho and Dilap and Zaruri. But yeah, for, you know, quality right through the team, we spend a lot of time talking about parachute payments and parachute teams, and you see it at Watford as well of, oh, I remember him, he's actually really good, isn't he? It's that sort of thing where, even though they both crap the proverbial bed last year, still some really good players probably on some very lush salaries.
Yeah, well, when you look at the stats, I'll ask you about who you think there are their key players. But Sara is not a million miles away in terms of the top assists in the league. He's behind Davis, obviously, but not far off.
Craig, he's got virtually the same numbers as Keane and Dewsbury-Hall, who's just been put up for player of the season.
Player of the season, absolutely. And he obviously plays nominally on the right, but drifts inside. So could either be up against Leif Davis or up against a big Leif Davis-sized hole running into acres of space. No, absolutely. I'll get a graphic up here in a sec, which might show something. Let me just grab this. So this is like a heat map over the course of the season as to where teams have the most possession over the course of a game. Blue meaning the majority and red meaning the minority. And as you can see on the Norwich, apologies again for those who are listening. I'll be very brief. But the Norwich City right-hand side, i.e. the Leif Davis channel, as we'll call it, even before they've played Ipswich, there's a large red line with Leif Davis's name written all over it, I think. It's going to be a case of potentially who blinks first down both wings, maybe, given that I think their fullbacks do tend to push up. So Sara, we think, is important to them. We've got that little shithouse Science on the other.
He's very good, Craig.
He is very good. Yeah, I thought he was their best player in the home game, to be honest. He was just one of those. Yeah.
Well, Craig, also in a tight game, he's a player that can just do a little dribble with a bit of space, get a shot off, and, you know, even if you're not scoring, you're forcing a save, winning a corner, you know, how that builds pressure up. So, yeah, to be fair to Wagner as well, he wasn't available for the first few months of the season. And I think Stuart Webber's name's been through the mud in recent weeks, but I think that'll go down as his last sort of good pickup there, Science. I think that's an excellent signing.
Yeah. And you spoke about him earlier, Sargent. Obviously, 10 goals in his last 9 home starts. So sort of carrying on that trend of them being a better home team than away team. What has he given them that they didn't have at the beginning of the season, maybe?
A player who cost about 7 or 8 million quid who's too good for the championship. You know, he's a United States international, a World Cup player. He's only 24, really strong runner, good finishing. And, you know, he came from the Bundesliga as well, didn't he? And I take it wasn't the plan to be playing in the championship, but he is, and he's doing what he should be doing, and he's beating up and scoring loads of goals. And I think we all understand that in terms of actually the ball going in the back of the net, he's the big threat, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I could see some comments saying, stop bigging up Norwich. Well, we're not bigging up Norwich. We're just highlighting the fact that they've won the last 7 home games, and there's a reason why, and that's because they've got players who weren't available to them, A, when we play them at home, and B, that they've sort of getting up to
speed.
Football
fans being overly emotional, Craig. Well, I never.
Especially going into a derby weekend as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. But, you know, we know what our strengths are, and we'll come on to us in a little bit. But just in terms, we just need to highlight the way that Norwich play, that where their attacking areas are. So, you know, you might be able to hopefully see those.
By the way, if we were doing this the other way around, we'd be talking 10 minutes longer about Ipswich Town strengths. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, exactly that. So in terms of their attacking, it's the left-hand side for both teams, really, as we know. Leif Davis is one of our main outputs, and Southampton and Blackburn look to exploit that space that he leaves behind when he's up the other end, up the other corner flag. And I say it may be that if Luongo is fit and playing and Cam Burgess is available, which we think he is, that they'll be doing a lot of covering across in that that left-back channel for when Sara's bombing up and down there himself. Although, what's the name of their right-back? Stacey, is it? Jack Stacey?
Yeah.
He was getting Luton
and Bournemouth, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was endearing himself to the Norwich fans.
He's not going to endear himself to David Diamond, because I think he wears number 3 but plays right-back, which will completely flip David out, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of comparisons then, I said about our very similar setups, really, 4-2-3-1 potentially. wide players in that three behind the striker that don't necessarily stay wide. There's a lot of drifting in and allowing the fullbacks to do the overlaps. Is that sort of see how you see it mirroring in that way?
Just depends on their approach, Craig, because there was they really set up to just stop us playing and say, okay, the space is down the sides. You know, if you can, because the thing about Ipswich is it's about the flow of the move from back to front, isn't it? And we all know this Ipswich Town team has struggled the most away at QPR, at home to Rotherham, you know, even Blackburn the other day. When sides do go, well, okay, there's your keeper who's going to play out from the back. We're not going to press, you there. We're going to sit in a nice compact shape, and really just depends so much on the approach there. And as much as you wouldn't blame Norwich for doing it, that would be a big kind of role reversal from what we've come to be used to in the last certainly 15 years in these matches, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But do you think Wagner's strange sort of phrase I'm going to use it, is he going to have the balls to be that defensive in a home game against us, if you see what I mean? Or not say defensive, but relatively more solid rather than what you would probably expect the Norwich fans to expect being at home with their home record.
Craig, this is a German football manager who won the playoffs on two penalty shootouts without scoring a single goal. The goal they scored was an own goal. So, no, I think he'll be plenty bold enough to sit and defend it in an East Anglian derby, put it that way.
Yeah, fair point. And just finally, it's all right, Colin, we're going to stop talking about Norwich now. We're going to transfer and talk about Ipswich for a little bit. But yeah, quick one here from Neil, sort of agreeing with you, really, Ben, that he hopes they come at us because that will hopefully suit us. The referee,
they've got the quality to take the game to us. It's just, what's the approach? Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got a sort of compelling evidence with both ways. The way that Southampton played against us, as we spoke about on Tuesday night, is they were clinical by emphasising the quality that they had on the ball, whereas you know, the other teams that you highlighted have been almost, no, none of them have been particularly successful against us because we found a way to win the games, but the ones that have created more problems for us have potentially been the other more pragmatic side, should we say. In terms of the referee, I know Seb goes through the referee and his bits and pieces. It's a gentleman called Matt Donoghue. He's only refed us once this season, and that was in the Hull home game, 3-0 at the beginning of October. Nothing of any note, didn't book anybody, I don't think. So that's your man in the middle. Moving on to ourselves then. We've got some team news, sort of maybe some team news filtering out from the press conference today, Kieran McKenna's press conference. Obviously, we all saw Kiefer Moore last half an hour, 35 minutes on Easter Monday. And we thought that given it was looked like and had transpired to have been a back spasm, that he may have got some manipulation, a few thumbs and elbows stuck in his back and jiggled around a little bit to loosen things up.
I forget he's a professional athlete and not me when I go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's me saying stick an elbow in it and wiggle it around a little bit. I don't believe that's the technique that they use in the medical department at Ipswich Town, but it's the technique that I get my missus to use whenever I've got a bad back, either that or trample all over me.
Have you got a pestle and mortar?
I haven't, no. I've got a hand blender. Can I use that? So yeah, we don't think. Well, we don't know. But the signs and the smoke signals coming out of the press conference weren't overly optimistic and positive regarding Kiefer Moore and his availability. Whether those smoke signals were a smoke screen remains to be seen. As I heard you on your joint. When you were on with the, was it Chris you're on from
Jack.
Talk Norwich, Jack, and the other gent, you were talking about how absolutely crucial Kiefer Moore is, and that if Kiefer Moore's name wasn't on that team sheet come 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, then it's going to be a much more tricky game than it would be if he was there.
I just think he's a big loss. And obviously the comments come out and you get a lot of coping mechanisms kicking in and a lot of a lot of tinfoil hats coming on. But let's be blindly honest, we don't know, and it's by design that we don't know. If they'd wanted to tell us, they would have told us, and they don't. So we're just going to have to wait and find out. I'm sure we'll get lots of leaky ideas before we get to Saturday morning. I hope he plays. I think it's a big loss. And as much as I'm behind Ali Alhamadi, and I think he's great, I would just prefer it to be Kiefer Moore playing for the first whatever 75% of the game, and Alhamadi being added in rather than the other way around. But you got to do what you got to do, haven't you? And if he's not around, then as one door closes, Craig, another one opens. And what a chance for Alhamadi if he can keep his composure, keep his head about him, not blow himself up, not get into trouble or whatever, and, you know, play a calm and composed game. You're an Ipswich Town hero if you play well in this game and the result goes your way.
Yeah, you're the new Danny Hines.
Exactly.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
And please, by all means, everyone, get your comments and thoughts in there, because like Michael's done here, he suggested that Jackson starts as our number 9 rather than Ali, because due to his pace. Obviously, Ali's no slouch. And I suppose the issue maybe is if you start Jackson, I suppose you could start Jackson up front. I just don't know. I think they spoke so highly of Alhamadi once he did come on. You know, he played a good game once he did come on for Kiefer Moore the other day. Then I think it potentially a bit of a kick in the teeth if you don't start the next game if Kiefer Moore's not around. But obviously you can see...
Greg, if I've got a tactical plan that I want executing, I trust Caden Jackson. If I want a little bit of va-va-voom, je ne sais quoi, I don't quite know what this guy's going to do, and neither do the centre-half. So I want Alhamadi in there. But in my head, Caden Jackson won't go missing for 15 minutes, whereas Alhamadi might have to find his feet in this game. It's a difficult one.
But then I suppose if you're going to have one chance in the first half from 16 yards, who do you want? Whose feet would you want
Ali
falling at? Yeah, quite absolutely. But yeah, as I say, that's pretty much the chat that people are having here, is that Alhamadi's potentially more of a natural. I think that's my feeling, is that he's more of a natural striker. And then, you know, you've got Jackson to come on as an option. But fingers crossed from our perspective that Kiefer Moore's relatively fit. And as I said,
you've got to play the long game. It's a three-game week, and, you know, people are going to hate me in the comments. You can still score 6 points with Kiefer Moore on Wednesday and the following Saturday.
Yeah. But as Trevor says, it's the defending as well, isn't it? As we saw, as I saw in the flesh at Cardiff. But But what we are assured is that it will be the right decision made for the right reasons.
What would be really interesting, Craig, is does Kiefer Moore's absence or not inform who partners Morsi in central midfield? Do you want a bit more? Do you want to stick someone a bit more sort of strapping for the corners in terms of a Travis in if Moore's not around? And have you got, you know, Duffy, Gibson, McLean, Sargent, Barnes? It's a big threat from set plays, isn't it, as we've mentioned?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, let's move on to that, because let's just move for the rest of the team, because, and I say again, please, folks, get your thoughts in, because we've sort of done the striker. I suppose the other areas of the pitch are potentially central midfield. Luongo played, obviously started on Monday, but was then taken off for Taylor, who made a real difference to the performance. Gave us a bit of oomph in the middle midfield and a bit more power in there. But then, as you say, Ben, whether you entrust Travis rather than Taylor and have Taylor in your back pocket as a requirement in the same situation as we used him on Monday, I don't know. But then Luongo's a trusted lieutenant, isn't he? If he's anything like fit, he'll be playing, you would have thought, in a game of this magnitude. Twenzabi or Clark, what are your thoughts there? He had a tricky game, didn't he, Twenzabi, on Monday?
Yeah, everybody had a tricky game, though, for 40 definitely. Minutes of it, didn't they? I don't mind a right-back. Obviously, I'm kind of predisposed to Harry Clark, but that's the emotional Ipswich fan in me speaking. We just need size in the team. And, you know, if you've got a Chaplin and a Hutchinson and, you know, another Longo's not massive, is he? I don't know. Is Twanzabi your guy in terms of picking up in set plays and adding size to the back four? And love Harry Clark, but he's so useful. Whatever you're doing in the second half, you can. I know Nate McKenna never puts the third centre back in, but he could play anywhere along the back four, can't he? And if it's important that you understand this game, well, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then I suppose, yeah, it'd be nice to have 50% of your back four, you know, hailing from Ipswich, wouldn't it? Given the opportunity. In terms of the attackers behind the striker, we assume that both Chaplin and Hutchison will start. And then it's a bit of a bun fight for the remaining spot, really. And it's Broadhead, Sarmiento, Harness, a push, you would think. Who I don't know, can't believe I'm even asking this question of you, Ben. Who would you go for out of Broadhead, Sarmiento?
Always play your joint top scorer. I would always play Broadhead, but I think we've established I'm not the right person to ask, because I just think he's, you know, a real in a tight game, the guy that can, as Dave talks about, the little bursts and, you know, just that, okay, he might have a quiet 10 minutes, but what he does in the 10 seconds when he comes alive can win you the game. So, and when you were kind of talking about just get your trusted lieutenants on the pitch, and if you haven't got Kiefer Moore and you can go in Morsi, Luongo, Chaplin, Broadhead, Hutchinson, I think that's a lot of our best 11.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as you say about just, and as we were sort of speaking about, when, Christ, I can't remember what show it was we were talking about who to have on the pitch, and it's just not having Broadhead on the pitch just reduces the number of shots you get away, as was shown against Southampton. You know, out of nothing, he's got a shot away and scored a goal within a couple of minutes of being on the pitch. And it was actually interesting that it was a conversation, a discussion that was being had in the Telegram group, is that because he plays, it's not the right term, but plays on the edge, he plays so many high-risk passes, he has so many high-risk passes of play that invariably, proportionally, they're going to fail more often than someone who's always taken the safe option. And as I say, you would think that Norwich would rather be facing one of the others rather than Broadhead potentially.
I just like Sarmiento coming into the game off the bench. I know I said that about Hutchinson, but that's decided by the Wes Burns injury now, isn't it? So Broadhead has the X factor. I agree, Richard Bradshaw in a big picture of a pasty.
Yeah, there's a lot of love, understandably, for Broadhead. So, and as you say, it's unfair on Sarmiento, and he sort of alluded to it himself in his post-match interview the other night, didn't he, saying that I was told that I was going to be a sub and I was a little bit annoyed, and then the poor guy only comes on, what, the 86th, 7th, 8th minute in any case, but then still manages to become the hero and indeed the icon of our latest giveaway with Metsala Designs. Please retweet and like both accounts. Right, I'm going to do some plugs and then we'll move on to the predictions and bits and pieces like that, and then we'll go on to some questions. So please put your match predictions in the chat, and also any questions you've got for Ben. As I say, please feel free. It's we'll open up a little bit wider to a more of a championship chat if you wish. Please use him while he's here. But also, give your score predictions and put a couple of reasons behind it. Put your workings in it as well. That'd be absolutely fantastic. In terms of the plugs, as I say, the Greyhound, as we all know, is the best pub in Ipswich and indeed Suffolk and Norfolk. Please go there for all your pre-match needs and post-match needs, even when there's not match days. We've got the merch store. We've got Telegram. Everything is available. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk. Flagship will be back Sunday night, not involving any of our troop of Judith Chalmers equivalents. It will be Ben, David, and myself, which means post pod, I get to bring out this book. Apologies again.
One of them on Telegram one day, yeah.
For those of you watching, but Ben and Dave bully me, and it is bullying, into providing at least half an hour of Popmaster questions after we finish the pod every time we're on. So we'll go through round. It'll be, and it's always equivalent of a Fabio Wardley British title belt bash as well. It's a slugfest between the two of them. And they may pretend that they're friends on the pod. There's no friends when we get round to to Popmaster, let me tell you. So that's the flagship show. As per normal, that'll be Sunday, 8 p.m. For the hour. If we lose, we may do 5 minutes. And again, as I say, the two like and retweet Twitter artwork, Glory Days artwork, and Metsala Designs on that as well. And please leave us a review if you wish. 5 stars is always nice. And get your questions in. Let's have a look.
Don't bother if it's not going to be 5 stars.
Yeah, don't bother if it's not going to be 5 stars. Let's do some predictions. Right, last week we were not involved, but Rich and Seb were, as was Jacob. And as you can see, if you're watching on the screen, Sebastian doubled the points of the host. He came out on top with 10 points from last week's predictions. It still puts him a little bit behind everyone as it goes, including the Telegram group, but he asked me to put it on the screen, so I've done that for him. Now, moving on to this week, we have Jacob from the Telegram group, along with myself and Ben, who've done our own predictions. I'll quickly run through them. Rotherham, Plymouth, I've gone against the grain here with a home win. I just think Plymouth are a bit of a shit show at the moment. So I've gone for a home win. Yourself and Jacob both gone for the same 2-1 away victory. Norwich versus Ipswich. I hope you're watching that, everybody. There's only one of us who's gone for a away win. But I think we'd probably take a 2-2 or a 1-1 as well. Blackburn, Southampton, two away wins and a draw for myself. Anything else that jumps out there? Coventry, Leeds, Jacob's gone for a 1-1.
Take that.
Yeah, absolutely. How are Coventry doing at the moment, Ben? Is that, I know you've gone for a 2-1 win for Leeds, but is that potential there for Coventry to produce a draw for us?
Coventry can always produce a draw because Mark Robins knows how to play tight defensive football, as he proved in the playoffs when he did a number on Michael Carrick and Middlesbrough. The only problem for Coventry is they're just stacked up with games between now and the season with the FA Cup semi-final. And I think they play Leeds and then possibly Southampton as well. So they've got a tricky old run coming up.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a few teams who've got games stacking up, isn't there? But that's just the way it is this time of the year. Huddersfield struggling again at the bottom of the league. It looked like they had a bit of a renaissance for a little while, but getting drawn back into that maelstrom at the bottom of the division. We all think Leicester will win. We all think Middlesbrough will beat Swansea. We all think QPR will beat Sheffield Wednesday, which is a bit of a shame for Danny Roll. I think he's doing a mighty fine job there. And interestingly, we've all gone for Sunderland to lose at home to Bristol City, which, again, I talk about it every time we're on the flagship together. I just cannot get my head around what the hell Sunderland have done to their season in terms of just letting it drift and meander to a mid-table conclusion. Just seems a strange old situation. Anyway, they were our predictions for this week. You can join the guys next week when they're back on Thursday. I believe they're going to be back in their normal slot this time next week. The Travellers will return, and you can see how we, myself and Ben, got on along with Jacob. In terms of questions, I'll have a look here. Or let's get some predictions up, actually. I did ask for them. That'd be remiss of me not to plot them up. Rob here's gone for a 2-1 Town victory. Amari winner in the 88th minute, backflip in front of the Barkley. Yes, that would an iconic celebration. It's been a while since we've had an iconic celebration. A Danny Haynes sitting on his backside with his legs akimbo, punching his fists type celebration. Gary's gone for a 3-1 Town win, substitutes being the key in that. Not unreasonable, I wouldn't think. Rob's also gone for a 3-1 Town win. Clark score off the bench, Davis, and a Chappers header from a free kick. Crikey. And presumably another Davis assist to add to the list. Steve's gone for a 0-0 ball draw. Would we take a 0-0 ball draw?
If we win the two games later in the week, yes.
Yeah, and certainly if Leeds end up drawing away at Coventry, it won't be seen as a poor result at all. Another 3-1 here from Zach. Chappers, Broadhead and Taylor for him. Joel's going balls out with a 4-0 to Town.
And we go
favourites for the title. You might have to tell the boffins at Opta and their supercomputer and 9,999 maybe simulations come Monday. And a couple of other ones were dotted in here for the other games. Actually, yeah, Colin's gone for a 2-2 as well with Coventry Leicester. So we are sort of getting to that point in the season where you're taking almost as much notice of at least two other results as you are for your own, aren't you?
Not winning is seen as a disaster. You know, are you giving up 2 points to an opponent?
Yeah, absolutely. Nick's gone for a 2-0 routine away. Wouldn't that be nice, Nick, is just to go along, score in the first half, keep things quiet, score early in the second half and see out the rest of the game.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
I would love it to happen.
No, we'll all be feeling horribly sick.
What was the one, Tirico and Paul Mason? Was that 2-0? That went like that, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm thinking back to the glory days of Jason Dazelle and his woolly hat. They were all very straightforward.
3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jem's gone for a 4. Crikey, there's a lot of positivity here, guys. 4-1 to Town. Charlie's gone for a 2-1 to Town. Reading Tractor's gone for a 2-1 to Town. Matty, yeah, 5-2. Very end to end. Yeah, that would be very end to end. David, I think, has snuck in here. The luck has to run out. What luck's that, David? The luck of winning 20, was it now? 26.
Don't fight. That's what games. They want.
Greg's gone for a 3-1. So there's lot. Carnival Nation. Yeah. Simple as that.
I think the heart may be overtaking the head with a few of these now, Craig.
You think?
I think.
We've got a lot of hat tricks being scored, so I hope people have got the appropriate goal bonus in their contracts. Get your questions in, please, if you wish. We'll knock a few off in the last few minutes. One here from Streaky. Southampton played the best football we've seen at Portman Road this season. They hold the key to the top three positions. Interesting, yeah. Do you think they'll beat both Leicester and Leeds? Because he does. Nice shirt, by the way, in your profile pic, Streaky.
No, I don't think they'll beat both Leicester and Leeds. And the issue is, Craig, that those two games are in Southampton's last three games. So as Sam Parkin and I discussed yesterday, quite a soft run up to that, Southampton. I know they've got seven games in 21 days and probably need to win at least six of them. But yeah, the big games, the head-to-heads, aren't happening until April 23rd. So round 44 and 46 in terms of Southampton. So I think we can hold off on them holding the key for the time being.
Yeah. So yeah, it's all about the situation of the league where they find themselves at those particular points in time when they're having those games. You can't really judge it at this particular point. Yes, this good point from George earlier in the day. We're above Norwich in the Opta Power football power rankings. Okay. So they'll never.
I thought George would have gone for we're above them in the Championship League table as a this is a real quiz, but there we go.
We're top of the same division that they're in. Here we go then. Neil, who do we think has the nicer run in or the best chance on last six fixtures, Ben? Leeds. Have you done the TW? You think Leeds?
Yeah.
It's sort of transpires that our remaining fixtures, pretty much everyone has something at this point in time. We're just talking about Southampton, not knowing how Southampton and they're going to pan out. But it looks at this point in time that everyone's got something to play for when we...
You just got a bit of a wild card with Watford and Middlesbrough, because I think they've both had underachieving seasons. And hell hath no fury like a team on the beach with good players. You can beat them 4-0, but they can just turn up relaxed and beat you as well.
Yeah, well, here's the point. Trevor, will West Brom try and avoid Southampton in the playoffs? I don't know if we can get to that level of...
Yeah, I don't think you ever get... I think that as soon as you're trying to fix where you're going in the playoffs, I think you're fighting a losing battle. You've got to get who you've got to get, and you've got to come out of that little three-game tournament, and you're going to have to win all your games or win all your ties anyway. So, no, I don't think so.
Here's a question for you, Ben. I know we've talked about it before and you've spoken about yourself on your channel. You just want to try and clarify for Paul's perspective. Leicester's finances came out this week and have been pretty well broadcast and explained on various channels. Is there any possibility at all that anything will happen this season?
Well, that's not strictly what he asked. He said any comeuppance for this season. The answer to that question, Craig, is yes, because there could be a lawsuit after this season for this season. In terms of the points deduction this season, which is the thing that we probably all would like, that's not going to happen. And you can blame that, as Joe explained very well on the pod reacting. I can't think back, we've done so many shows. The EFL and the Premier League don't have the same guidelines and the same dates set. If they got their act together, and it was a December the 31st deadline for Leicester to get their accounts in, they would either have been embargoed in January if they hadn't submitted them and wouldn't have been able to do any business then, or they would have submitted them and got a points deduction this season. That's going to irritate everybody. There is every chance that if Leicester are found guilty in November and get a points deduction, that there could be litigation from anybody in the promotion race who doesn't go up this season, which is an absolute mess. But get your act together, EFL and Premier League, actually have a conversation and realise that there's literally a three-team door between your two divisions. And you need to understand that you've got a duty of care for the teams passing through that door. And anyway, I'll get very vexatious. So I'll stop.
A couple of here in terms of the lineup. Eric's asking if Harness could start. Yes, yes,
yep,
he could.
Yeah, because he could. Yeah,
we know what he gives us from a pressing, harrying, and potentially defensive perspective rather than attacking.
And a freshness perspective. If there's lads who haven't played on Monday and there's a very set plan that they've been working on. I know we all listen to these press conferences from Kieran McKenna and assume that he's lying about everything and saying, we just warmed down on Tuesday and Wednesday. And you're kind of like, did you, Kieran? Did you really? Are you sure you weren't doing everything tactically for this game? So we don't know.
Yeah. And another one from Rob. Amari may start on the bench due to a quiet game on Monday. When I as I spoke about on Tuesday when we were talking about it, is that he, by virtue of Broadhead not playing, he had to be shuffled out to the left-hand side, whereas I think he prefers to play either on the right or in the middle. So he's sort of out of the three positions behind that strike. He was playing in his least favourable, and that might have just shown in his performance,
Craig,
I would have thought.
What I would add is I think the only nailed-on player in the three off the front is Chaplin, isn't it? You know, you'd expect Hutchison to start, but would you be surprised if there was some detailed instructions for Caden Jackson down the right for the first 60 minutes of this game, and Hutchison plays the last 30, assuming you're either level or in the game, or God forbid leading it at that point? And would I be surprised if it was Broadhead, Sarmiento, or Harness down the other side? No, of course I would. Harness it, well, contradict myself, Harness can play at 10, but I don't think he's going to. But no, McKenna will have a starters and finishers plan for this, but I think, quote my great friend David Diamond, big game, play your best players.
Yeah, absolutely. Question here from Steve, actually, which is going to fall on something else I wanted to talk about, is he's asking about the weather. It's going to be a bloody gorgeous day, I think, Steve, at the weekend. It's 20 degrees, I think. Bright, sunny, perhaps, which could potentially be a bit of an issue to our two friends who are currently going through Ramadan, in that Morsi and Al Hamidi can't drink any water. So let's hope it's not too hot during the course of the game. I know, you know, these guys know what they're up to, et cetera, but that, I think you'd probably prefer a nice, dark, overcast, drizzly day if you're in that particular boat. But yeah, it's going to be a nice day. So shirt sleeves and shorts if you're going to the match, Steve. From Colin, do you believe, like myself, that this derby will be won off the bench?
Could be, yeah. Very, very well could be, couldn't it?
From both perspectives, Ben, or just certainly from ours?
Certainly from ours. You'd think all Norwich's best players are starting if it's Sarah, Science, Sargent. Those are the clear dangers. And we've all seen the stats and talked about Sarmiento and the idea, whoever said it in the chat there, strategically waiting and using Hutchison like that and starting Jackson. So yeah, not a bad shout that at all, Colin.
Yeah. As Daniel says here, we've got the better bench. Norwich's is fairly youthful. It looks weaker in respect to ours, I would suggest. A couple more, and then we'll knock on the head for the evening. No more. Ali struggling with his adductor, says Chris. Would you play Chappers up top with Amari? That gives us a very small
strike. I think you've answered that. The size and presence and just what you'd lose from Chaplin not being in the 10. I wouldn't, but I respect the commenter's view, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose it'll be horses, courses, but I think we just know that central striker is so crucial to the way we play, regardless of, and I think it probably is more suited, even when we're talking about Caden Jackson playing there, he's not suited to playing there, and he's more of a striker in that mould than...
Craig, how many times do we have this conversation at the start of the season, particularly as it pertained to George Hurst, where it's like, who's scoring the goals? It's not the guy wearing number 9 playing furthest up. It's don't take the guy with 13 goals from number 10, and preferably from my point of view, don't take the guy from 13 goals off the left wing either, because you know there's that running and there's that triggering of pressing, and you know the pretty patterns aren't usually involving the number 9, are they? So yeah, I'm not saying that person's just in there to run around a bit, you know, but you can win the game without your best striker, as much as I would prefer Kiefer Moore to be playing from the positions of three off the front.
Yeah, I think you just answered Daniel's question there about he can. Broadhead can play up top. but you know, you'd prefer it if you didn't have to. Right, a couple more. One from Jack. What are the chances of Kieran McKenna losing his head? Well, you say losing his head, Jack. Are we all thinking it was a spur of the moment act, or was it something that was potentially choreographed? Anyway, losing his head like Paul Lambert did the last time we were at Carrow Road. I'm going to take this one, as Ben says sometimes. Unlikely, I would suggest, Jack.
It's unlikely. Embarrassing that, wasn't it? I was in the press box right behind the dugout as well. It was so obvious what he was... I mean, I think he's admitted it since, hasn't he, that he knew we were crap and they had a way better team than us. But, you know, come on, really?
And final one for this evening from Charlie. If Ipswich win the league, will Ben try an Omari back flick? He is corrected later on. I'm sure Ben will try an Omari back flick.
Well, add this to, I've been asked to present in my pants like Gary Lineker did. I've been asked another of the many reasons to cut all my hair off if we win the league, and I'm now doing the back flip as well. Can you just put the question about Josh Sargent being hurt up?
I'll find
Michael, please, Craig. So, in preparation, I have just listened to David Wagner's press conference before we did this, and Sargent was obviously badly injured with an ankle problem. This apparently is the first week he's done the full training right the way through. And he was like in a kind of rehab zone, even though he was playing as well. So, no, he's not carrying an injury. And I think they've officially got him back at full fitness now, unfortunately for us. But we don't want to see any players hurt, of course.
No, and I think they're sort of managing Jonathan Rowe the same, aren't they? He was saying that they've all got these certain plans and they're following them pretty much by the letter, because as you were saying earlier about Kiefer Moore, they're playing the understanding.
Well, Craig,
the
if
long
you listen
game,
to our chat with Kieran Dyer, I'm really pleased to hear that, because we don't, especially young players like Johnny Rowe, we don't want them to be crippled and not make their full potential because they've been rushed back for short term gain for their club without any regard for their, you know, their bodies in the future, without me coming across too snowflakey.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I think we're going to... Oh, we'll do it there, shall we? We've done an hour. We're not going to enjoy this particularly, as I said before. we'll suffer for the next 48 hours or so, or 36 hours.
I had a dream about it last night, Craig.
Oh, goodness. One that we can talk about 1 minute before the watershed?
It was weird. It was more about whether I was going to do the watch-along or not, and I was having this existential nightmare. I actually woke up, so I can't tell you what the score is from my dream, but I'm literally dreaming about this football match. How pathetic is that?
And are you doing a watch-along on Saturday lunchtime?
I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm that much of a wimp. I don't think I can do this in front of the watching audience and the unkind comments that I can't win, because if we win, I'll be a biased Ipswich fan, and if we lose, I'll be a grumpy Ipswich fan. So I think I might just stay quiet and watch on my own.
Yeah, well, I'm going, and I think I'm going to struggle to watch along from the stands. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for all your comments. There's been a lot of you in the comments. Thank you very much for your questions. Thank you very much for your predictions. Ben, thank you very much for your time as well on what has been a pretty hectic week for yourself. As I say, we'll be back Sunday, 8 p.m. live. Ben, David, and myself. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.